everyone. It's good to be with you again today. Thank you for joining. I pray that God has a word for all of us today that will help us to abide in Christ. As I've said before, every one of us are in Christ, but not every one of us abides in Christ. And so learning how to abide in Christ is learning how to live from this life of Jesus that we have been grafted into. It's so much more fun and, of course, so much more powerful and fruitful instead of doing our best for God, allowing God to do his best through us. Amen? Well, I want to talk to you today. There are a couple of things I've really contemplated talking to you about, but I think it's in my heart to share this one about entering into rest. And when I talk about resting in the Lord, I'm not talking about some place of irresponsible inactivity, but I'm talking about abiding in, resting in his activity, living from his activity. If you're just living for Christ, there's a heart that loves him, that's living for Christ, you're going to live an exhausted Christian life. But out of love for him and surrender to him, if you live from Christ, then he's bearing the load, and his shoulders are broad, and they can carry and handle anything that you and I may go through. Again, that scripture from John 16 says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's a promise. But then he says, but be of good cheer. One version says, take courage, for I have overcome the world. So there's a promise that we're going to go through things in life, but we can either go through them resting in the overcomer who's living in us and through this, or trying to overcome for him and being exhausted on the inside, which causes you to be exhausted on the outside, right? So let me just read a few verses to you. This is from Matthew chapter 11. It's really famous scripture. Verse 28 of Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Now Jesus said, if you're weary and heavy laden. Now here's the thing that is sad. And I can say this from experience. I know what this is like. So many Christians, this would fit a description of so many believers, is that they are weary and heavy laden. And I'm talking about not physically tired. All of us get physically tired sometimes because we still have this earth suit. We'll get a glorified body one day, and we'll never be physically tired again. But all of us get physically tired. But what I'm talking about is being soul tired, weary and heavy laden on the inside. It could be the result of so many things, brokenness because of events that have happened to you, because of situations that you've gone through, because of the way people have treated you, because of your history, because of the parenting in your life, whatever it might be. But in the end, ultimately, it's because of our fallenness. And being weary and heavy laden in this fallen world because of our fallenness and the fallenness around us, this weary and heavy ladenness that we experience on the inside in our souls, Jesus said, come to me all, regardless of how severe your situation and circumstances in life have been that have contributed to the weariness and heavy laden soul that you have. Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, the word rest here that carries the idea is that let's just say if you're walking by someone and they're in a hole, they're digging a ditch, and they're like 5 foot in this ditch, digging this ditch, and you were to say to them, hey, listen, let me give you some rest. You're not saying to them, I want to get in there and help you dig. You're telling them that you want them to quit and you're going to take over and do some digging for them, because that's the only way they're going to get any rest. And he uses two different words for rest in these scriptures. When he says, and you will find rest for your souls, The first word, rest, is to cease. The second word is the word like recreation. Jesus is saying that I can give you rest in your soul to the point where in your soul it's like recreation instead of weariness and being heavy laden. Let me show you scripture, another one from Hebrews. There's a bunch of stuff in that Matthew 11 passage, and I'm sure one day we'll come back to it again. But I wanted you to see what he's actually offering, because it's stunning. And this is from Hebrews. If I can find Hebrews, there we go. Hebrews chapter 4. Now listen to these verses. Therefore, let us fear, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have heard, had good news preached to us, just as they, speaking of the Jews in the wilderness, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. The word God gave them, that the promised land has already been promised to them. It's already guaranteed. The victories are already won. They just haven't been manifest in sight and in real time, time and space, time right yet. But it's, they've been already, God's already guaranteed the victory. All they have to do is step in. And according to Joshua 1:3, one step at a time, simply receive the victory that Christ has already won as they step one step at a time in faith. But they heard the word about the inheritance that was already theirs and the battles that were already won before they ever engaged in them. He said they've heard the word, but it didn't profit them because it was not united with faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he who has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the Sabbath day from all of his works, and again this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Let me read one more scripture. Come back and make a couple of comments. This is in verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. For there remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Four different times, when he refers to rest, he talks about being entering into God's rest. He didn't just say that God wants to give you rest. He says that I want you to enter into my rest. When Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What he's saying is this, is that as we walk in childlike faith, simply trusting him with every step of the way, the one that we're in union with, that we can enter into the rest of soul that Christ himself experiences. You know that Paul said, be anxious for nothing? Now, Paul would have never said that if he didn't believe it was possible. Now, remember, too, when Paul was writing that letter to the Philippians, he didn't know that he was writing scripture. He was simply writing a letter to a church that he really loved and a group of people. And so Paul is not writing something that the Holy Spirit says, now write this because this far-fetched idea that people can be free from anxiety is coming from God. Well, it was coming from God, but it was coming from God through Paul's experience and what Paul believed. When Paul said, be anxious for nothing, he really believed that every person that he was writing that letter to could experience a life where they literally were anxious for nothing. You see, God's never anxious about anything. He doesn't worry. He isn't fearful. He isn't impatient. He doesn't complain. He's never anxious about anything. And if Christ is your life, then the Christ who lives in you not to cheer you on, but who lives in you to live his life through you, he, Jesus, wants to live his anxious-free life through you. He's inviting you to enter into his rest. That's just amazing to me. For years and years, when I heard people preach about this word or talk about this word, they forgot to mention that he was offering us to enter into his rest. He wasn't just offering us rest as a gift. He wants us to actually enter into, sink into, yield to, surrender to, and manifest and reveal the very rest of soul that Jesus has, that God has about everything and every situation. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've found myself in circumstances where anxiety would rise up in me, and because I abide in him and his words abide in me, I would hear Jesus speaking in me by the Holy Spirit saying, "I'm not anxious about this, Chuck." And I knew when he would say that, he wasn't just informing me that he wasn't anxious. I mean, that's great. I'm glad you're not anxious, Lord, but I'm really getting anxious. No, he was inviting me to sink into, to surrender to, in childlike faith, his life that isn't anxious, his lack of anxiety, to just, "Lord, I yield to you who aren't anxious in this moment, and I thank you," in childlike faith. And whenever that happens, then the anxious-free life of Jesus, this peace of God that passes understanding, then takes over and manifests in me and through me the very peace of Jesus instead of the anxiety of Chuck. How many times has he said to me in situations, he said, "Well, Chuck, I'm not afraid here." And I would ask the question, "So, Lord, you're not afraid here?" "I'm not afraid at all. I'm not worried. I don't worry about things." I remember one time I was in a situation, and I was thinking about a circumstance that was months away from happening, but I knew intuitively that it could have really bad consequences if this thing occurs. And I found myself off and on for several weeks getting anxious about it, not even recognizing, not even catching the little foxes, and just not even recognizing this was a sin I was given into. And so one day, finally, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Chuck, I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about it." And I said, "Lord, you're not worried about it?" And he said, "No, I'm not worried about it." And now, I would normally think that would mean, if somebody says, "I'm not worried about it, don't worry about it," they're saying, like, nothing bad's going to happen. There's not going to be any negative consequences. So I said, "Lord, so there's not going to be any negative consequences? You're not worried about it?" And he said to me, "Oh, there might be some negative consequences, but Chuck, I don't worry." I thought, well, Jesus doesn't worry. And he was, again, not just informing me that he doesn't worry. He was inviting me to enter into his rest and to see and to think and to feel how he thinks and how he sees and how he feels. That's the rest of God. So I'm not sure what kind of conflict is going on inside of your soul that make you feel weary and heavy laden, that it's getting to you so bad, you're like, feel weighed down and you're wearied. Jesus said that he wants us to enter into his rest because he's not weary and he's not heavy laden and it's not too big a task for him. And he's adequate for it, no matter what it might be. He can take it. He can handle it. He's not afraid. Again, he's not anxious about it. He's not worried about it. Just surrender into him and let, "Lord Jesus, thank you." My spiritual father used to use this phrase a lot. "Lord Jesus, thank you. I can't, and you never said I could handle the situation, but you can, and you always said you would. Thank you so much." And just surrender into him and enter into his rest of soul in that circumstance or situation. Again, it's not inactivity, because now you're free to keep stepping into that circumstance, keep walking, but now you're no longer walking under the burden of feeling heavy laden, just wears you down, has this effect on you physically too. Now you're walking in glorious freedom as you progress in life in that circumstance or situation. Okay? Well, I hope that helps. I will miss being with you the rest of the week, but I'll be praying for you. I do pray for those who, I don't know you by name, all of you who listen in, but for those who do listen in, that you would have breakthrough. You would have breakthrough into seeing and apprehending that for which you were apprehended. You were apprehended to be grafted into the very life of Jesus so that Jesus Christ could live his life through you, and that you would have a breakthrough into that at deeper levels every single day. Okay? Well, God bless.